Raptors forward, Raptors guard, Raptors center. Garrett Temple, what's going on, Garrett? How you doing, man?
What's going on, man? I'm great. How y'all doing?
We're doing really well. We got to start with the really unfortunate, man. We got to start with the last play of last night's game against Brooklyn. You guys were down two. Shot clock turned off. Brooklyn had the ball. Enough time to play for the steal. You did get the steal on the rookie against Clowney. And then you try to take it the other way to force OT or at least tie the game. Unfortunately, the rookie can really get up. He had seven blocks last night. That's really impressive. But take me through the last play of last night's game. Not to wake you up with some bad news, but, you know, we had to go there.
Nah, yeah, it is what it is, man. It's the only question that should have been asked. Got the steal, pushed it, and it's simple. I knew it was the rookie. I like his game, by the way. He's gonna be really good. I should have pump faked him. Simple as that. Hindsight is 20/20, but even foresight should have been 20/20, because after you get a steal like that, his mindset is, I got to make a play. Mm-hmm. And he's athletic. He jumps at everything. He's going to try to block everything. So in that regard, even if it's 7 minutes left in the second quarter, you know, you pump fake them. You pump fake him on that one. You do a Rondo version, or you do, I get my inner Gary Trent on the fast break.
Oh, yeah?
Enter Kelly Olynyk, and you just pump fake him. That really hasn't ever been part of my game a lot, especially in the paint, but I should have brought it out there. So I tried to quick lay him. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it didn't work. Darko was trying to call for a foul. During the timeout, he asked me, did he foul you? I said, no, Darko, you just pinned it against the glass. But he's like, that was clean block, as clean as it gets, man. I should have pump faked him. So that was what that was. And then Dennis finished with those free throws, and we never really had a chance.
What was kind of, and we've asked you about Dennis before, but that it seemed like it got a little testy with Dennis at some points in that game. Is that just, hey, it's an ex-teammate? Was he talking some trash? What was going on there?
No, that's Dennis. I mean, ex-teammate that talks a lot of trash, that gets testy, whoever he's playing against. It could have been his son. That's, you know, 17 months, it would have got tested. That's just how Dennis is. I'm saying Dennis playing against his son. When he gets on the court, that's the competitive nature that he has. That's part of what makes him who he is. So, nah, it was just Dennis. And it'd be a little bit of an ex-teammate, but and us giving Dennis some stuff, us knowing how how he gets. So when Ochai scored on him, just us knowing that we wanted to, you know, how he would feel after we stood up and said something. So
yeah, watching through the TV, I thought that was the inciting moment. You know, when Ochai had like what looked to be like a 5 second Mark Jackson style post up against Dennis. He took his time against him. Okay, no help came from any of the Brooklyn Nets. Got the and one. Ochai is like very strong. Obviously, you know, he's bigger than Dennis as well. But it happened right in front of the Raptor bench, and you saw everybody get up. You know, Gary, Scotty, RJ, Bruce, the whole team, you know, and from that point onwards, I saw a different focus from Dennis. I gotta say,
yes, you did. I mean, I stood up too. I had just come out, and then I sat back down eventually because I said, I'm gonna go back in the game, so let me get some rest. But I looked at the bench; the entire bench was up.
Yeah,
and but that was great. That's part of the game we're in. That's part of the game, and I think our Raptors social posted it as well, and Dennis commented, because Scotty did the baby sign.
Oh, yeah? Oh, no. Man.
So then Dennis commented, the baby got the last laugh, or the baby got the game, you know, ended the game the right way or something like that. Yeah. I was with him last night. So, it's part of the sport, and it's what makes us, what makes our sport great. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I love it, man. For game 80, that was really spicy. You know, game 80, both of you guys, the season's over in a week. But
it's just like really nice in 2024 to see you guys run a play to get him the post up. He loses the ball. He's still posting up. He covered like the entire 2-point area on the process of that one post. It was just very nice. Nice to see some 1970s stuff there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, listen,
for sure.
We've seen a lot of you, Garrett, in the games. We've seen the compete level rise. We saw you got the start last night as well. And yeah, I mean, I guess this is all going to be something that's going to be covered probably in a week or so when we do exit interviews. But are you down to play another season with the Raptors? Like, you know, you're becoming a Raptor fan favorite at this point. Like,
no, I appreciate that, man. I am. I really am. You know, this last 3 weeks, when you don't play, I didn't play at all, you know, in the rotation last year in New Orleans. The year before that, I was playing the rotation and then was out of the rotation. And this year, didn't see any minutes in the rotation. So, after a year and a half, 2 years of not playing in the NBA, just playing against a couple of players that are not in rotation also, and then some coaches that played overseas, maybe, you know, you start to question at this age, like, can I still play in this league? And this last 2 weeks, however long it's been, has shown me that I definitely can still play. My calling card has always been defense, and I feel like I still can really guard. Maybe these last basically two years of not having to compete and put miles on my legs has helped, but I really feel like I can still defend, especially, you know, having to guard guys like Cam Thomas and Mikal Bridges, and I hold my own. So at the end of the day, I've always thought when I can't guard, that's when I need to, when I'm a liability defensively, then that's when I need to stop playing. And it's not that's not the case. I asked Dennis last night, why didn't y'all bring me into the pick and rolls last night, man? We're not messing with you. So that's a good sign. And that means I need to, I can still play. I still can bring something to the team that a team needs. So I'm definitely down to play with the Raptors. My family loves it here in Toronto. I like the organization a lot, and I would love to be back.
Is that something where, you know, the fact that you have been playing these last couple of weeks and looking like you can still play, when you're having these conversations with the Raptors or with other teams, you know, I remember Vince talking about at the end of Vince's career, you know, part of why he chose Sacramento, there were rumors the Raptors would have been interested to bring him in on a minimum or something like that.
Right, that's a playoff team at that point.
Yeah, like, you know. But part of why he wanted Sacramento was, like, there was going to be playing time. Like, they were going to give him 20 minutes. They also gave him $8 million instead of the minimum, which is probably a factor there. But, you know, to hear him tell it, the playing time was a part of it. Is that something you'd seek out a little bit more, or it's just kind of more for you? You know, if you're called on, you can do it.
Well, I mean, obviously, if playing time is in there, that's definitely a factor that I'm going to consider. And it will be high up on my list, for sure. And I was on the team with Vince when he went there, and he could still play. Like, that was what it was. So he wouldn't have wanted to be on a team that wasn't playing him. But that's only one of the things that I would, you know, decide on. Obviously, there's others, but playing time is definitely something that if a team is like, yo, we want to play you, actually, we're not going to just have you as a vet. At the end of the day, this is what we love to do as hoopers, compete at a high level and on the court. And if that's something that somebody's willing to throw out there, that's definitely something I consider.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to go back to what you said earlier, too, about that feeling of, like, doubt that does creep in sometimes. I'm sure a lot of this game for professional athletes, when you're competing at the very highest level, it is about managing that belief, managing the confidence. And then, of course, on the flip side of that is managing the doubt. So, you know, what are some instances in your career where that's crept in for you, besides more recently? And have you seen instances of that affecting the careers of other players who had a lot of talent but, you know, couldn't get over that doubt portion?
Yeah. Man, that's a great question, Will. For me, that's the biggest time was when I got cut by the Miami Heat in training camp. After I was there the entire training camp, almost the entire summer, and I was the last cut. This was 2012, and they picked a guy, in my opinion, you know, who should not have, I outplayed in training camp, but he was there the year before. And, you know, I was overseas the year before, so I was going to start the season out in the G League again, and overseas just wasn't for me. So I was in my head, I was thinking, am I an NBA player? Am I, you know, even though during training camp, I played well, I was in preseason games, I was playing well. It was still just, do I deserve, do I belong in this league? You know? And you know, that 8 or 9 games I spent in the D League that season, G League now, showed me that I do, because I was playing really well. And one time I played against a first round draft pick in the D League. And the GM for that team, it was the Suns, they had a draft pick, and the GM for the team was there. Rest in peace. Babby was the general manager, and he came to watch him play against me. You know, they had sent him down, and he was playing in the D-League, and I was cooking. And I was thinking to myself, if he's the, you know, lottery pick, then I definitely deserve to be in this league, in the NBA. So, you know, they're definitely there. They come in. Circumstances obviously initiate them. But that was the time when I really questioned, you know, more so, is this for me? Do I deserve to, you know, am I an NBA player? And then that's the year that I ended up staying for the rest of my career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I feel like maybe even for some of your teammates right now, with so many guys coming in and out, like, I'm sure in their personal moments, they're thinking about these very questions, right? Like, you get this chance, am I going to stick, you know? And we've talked to you so much about that because of your journey. But, yeah, I always wonder how athletes maintain their confidence, besides the fact that they're, you know, you guys are supremely talented and athletic or whatever, but you guys are also human, and this is a really high-pressure job, like, you know, so.
So how much this is, I don't know. I don't know if you don't remember the guys' names or you just didn't want to name them by names, but I know who you're talking about in both of these instances. How much, and I don't know if you ever got to play against these guys again, but, like, if that came up, how much does that – like, I don't know, if you played the Heat later that year, once you got on the Wizards, are you looking across at that guy or that team, or, you know, at any of the teams that kind of had you in and thought, nah, we're going to go a different direction? Like, how much did you carry that as you moved forward and got to new situations?
Man, when I got cut, this is the first time a coach told me, man, we're going to try to figure something out, but if you play against us, man, just do your thing, like, cook. But, you know, they actually circled back when I got called up by the Wizards. They circled back and told me that they would like to sign me first. Mm-hmm. And that's a big story, a big kind of like changing point in my career. I had to decide between the 3-22 Washington Wizards or the defending champions and with LeBron, and they just added, you know, Ray Allen. So, and I decided with the 3-22 Washington Wizards because, yeah, I wanted to get a chance to actually play. So it's in the back of your mind. It's, mm-hmm, definitely in the back of your mind when you play against these teams. And it's something that comes with, it wasn't as bad since they kind of like wanted to get me back. In terms of the players, there was no ill will. But as competitors, you know, maybe add a little cold to the fire.
Yeah, I mean, it's always fun watching these. I wouldn't say revenge games, but, you know, it's a little bit more on the line. You know, I feel like Bruce Brown's best games this year, you know, going against Denver, going against Indy. I thought he played well the other night too. You know what I mean? And
yeah, really
Dennis
did.
Coming against the Raptors is, you know, like, there's always a little bit extra, but it's just the natural part of competition.
This is also why,
against your friends.
This is why Garrett's having a good season. He's played for half the teams in the NBA, so half the games are revenge games.
This guy's like, so, oh, true. He's like, it's
half
Brooklyn.
The teams, half the coaches. Yeah, right. Exactly.
No, show Sean Marks.
New York, it's New Orleans.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we were talking about this before we got going, but there's an excellent piece about you out there written by Eric Kareen over at The Athletic, where he does this once a year where he spends a week, a day in the life kind of thing, and he spends a week covering just what goes into being that player for that week. And I saw you talking to Eric quite a bit. I figured you were going to be the guy that was going to be profiled. And it's really, really wonderful. It gives a lot of people a lot of insight into who you are just in general, what an NBA player goes through. And a couple of things stood out for me from that piece. I want everyone to go read the piece, so I'm not going to, like, stomp on the story. I just want to ask some follow-up questions. One of the details in there, one of the days you spent was making candles with the Olynyk. Okay, so take me through the candle making experience, and also what's it like when, because Kelly said this in the piece and he's quoted, he's saying, well, I can only really ask Garrett because none of the other guys are married. And there is a big age gap, you know, between, like, obviously what married people would do versus, like, what, you know, youngs, you know, let's be honest, single 20, young 20-year-olds would do. So what's that age gap like, too? But we'll start with the candles.
For sure. Great question. No, and shout out to Eric. You know, as a guy in this situation, you've had people write stories about you. His was at the, you know, tops. You know, one of the best ever, and I really appreciate him for, you know, choosing me and getting that insight. A beautifully written story. So Kelly texts me randomly on one of the off days around 10 in the morning and said, gee, man, wifey and I are going to the can to make some candles. Would you and wifey want to come? And I said, can't make candles. So I immediately... This is not something that me and Kelly would go do on our own. Like, I'm broke. I'm about to go make candles.
Oh, yeah.
And I are going, would you and your wife want to come? You know, and I think he might have put in the text, you know, women, they live for these things. I was like, for sure they do. So
Kelly's just like, let me make these candles real quick.
Right. I hit the wife right away. I was like, hey, baby. Kelly and his wife are they invited us to do a candle making thing with them. Would you like to do it? Of course, yeah, I'd love to. That would be great. Nice little date night. So we did it, and it was in Yorkville. I've never been in a candle, like specifically a candle shop before. We drank some tea before, or some coffee if you wanted. They had wine. I don't drink alcohol, so I didn't do that. But it was us four, another group of two, and then another group of two.
And they're probably like, wow, we got to meet NBA players at the candle making shop. I know they were in for a treat.
Honestly, I don't know if the people that make these candles that are like going to these candle making classes probably aren't crazy sports fans.
Okay.
Like,
you know what, fair.
They didn't seem as if they were very starstruck, or maybe they just were very calm about it. It was good. You had to pick 3 cents. I guess three parts of your scent. So you put three things together, three scents together, and there are five choices in each, I guess, area. So you pick, I don't remember the names of it, but we had to smell each scent by itself. And then you put them together once you pick the three that you choose, and you have to fan them against you to smell it as if the candle was, it was very interesting. We poured the wax, you have to stir it a certain way, and it was dope. And then you pick what color, I guess, casing you want the candle to be in, what color glass. It was dope. I was happy about it. I was excited to light it. They told us not to light it for 3 days. So I lit mine first. My wife wasn't a fan of the smell of hers when it wasn't lit necessarily, but hers smells better lit than mine does. We loved the way mine smelled before it was lit. It's a little too strong, though. So that was that. That's what that was. And I had a great time. I appreciated him for that. It was definitely got some brownie points for that.
It sounds like a good date night. Will you take notes here?
Trust me, I've done pottery classes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I have one tiny follow-up, though.
this is a standard thing, drink-making classes.
So this sounds like a nice night out with two couples. Did Kelly wear a snapback?
I believe. You know, when I picture Kelly, I always picture him in a snapback. Backwards snapback at that. Did he wear a snapback? I have to say yes, but he was dressed decent. Like, he was dressed like...
Okay.
He wore a snapback on his wedding day. It doesn't matter how he's dressed.
Yeah. Oh, well, he for sure he had one on it. Like, I can't see that he didn't. I believe he did, for sure. Yeah. He had to wear one. The age gap.
Yeah.
So when the trades happened, right? When Dennis and Thad got traded, and Otto, Dennis, Thad, and Otto got traded on trade deadline day. Wifey was like, nobody else on the team has kids, so me and me and Otto have daughters that are basically the same age. Me and Dennis have three-year-olds that are the same age and babies that are the same age. Dad's kids are old. Mm. Dad's kids are like almost one is a teenager now.
Yeah.
But just having wives on the team that have kids as well, you know, Kyra still goes, my wife still goes and brings my daughter to a little tumbling gymnastics class with Otto's wife, with Natalie. You know, so just having that around was great for her, was great for me as well. Just to, you know, you have conversations about life and marriage and being a father. And then KO came, which was great because we met in Milan. Like our wives met each other in Milan this past year at a Players Association event. So that was good, but we talked about it, how we have no players with, you know, with kids anymore, let alone married, but even married with kids. So it was definitely, I'm glad KO invited us out. But that's something that it's just me and him right now. Mm. So we'll see what happens next year if I'm back and see if we get anybody else that has an official significant other.
Man, Chris Boucher is the next oldest guy on the team. And yeah, that's it's crazy how young.
Sorry, and let me rephrase. CB has a son that is a year. Right. He's a year now. But that's, yeah, that's the only one that has a kid.
That
but
really puts into perspective how young this team is.
No, I remember, like, okay, so post-game, after the game is done, you go down to the locker room, you do the interviews, all that kind of stuff, and then you see, like, you know, family milling about, you know what I mean? And it's like, this year I've seen more parents than I've seen kids. You know what I mean? Before it was always
the whole Trent family's there.
Well, yeah, that too. But it's like, you used to always see Kyle Lowry's kids, DeMar's kids, and they were wandering around. Like, we've seen them growing up. They grew up, they, like, were born here, right. They, you know, whatever. Nowadays, I'm like, oh, I see Grady's parents. I see Quickly's parents. I see RJ's parents. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, exactly, damn, this is flipped entirely.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's different. And you asked about, like, the dynamic in general. Like, they're texting about, you know, where they're going to go out in a group chat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm...
You're like, I'm not trying to go to STK right now. I'm not trying to go to Harbor 60.
I'm not going out. Celeste turns into a club at night. Like, I'm straight. Y'all got it, bro. I'm going to just chill. I just don't have it in me, man. I just don't have it in me.
Oh, man.
All right. I don't want to end on a negative note, but...
It's not a negative. It's just a funny thing. No. Are you going to...
There's one more question.
Yeah.
Okay. There's the other thing that I wanted to know from Eric's piece. Obviously the Jontay Porter situation is ongoing. We'll see what happens there. I think Eric mentioned that you had actually reached out to him and just sort of checked in on him to see how he was, you know? So I guess my question is, like, how is he and what did you say to him in the midst of all of this?
It's exactly as Eric put it. In situations like this, what I said to him was, happy Resurrection Sunday. Praying for you and the fam, man. Him and his wife. And I left it at that. I think in situations like this, I don't like to ask questions. I don't like to pry.
Mm-hmm.
I told him I'm here for him if he needed me. And he responded. He said, I appreciate that, man. You know what I'm saying? Happy Easter to you as well. And that was really just it. And, you know, in the days ahead, I'll probably send a quick text just checking on you, seeing how you're doing. No reply is needed in those scenarios, but it's just a situation to, it's just something to do just to let guys know you're not, you know, we didn't forget about you, bro. Or I didn't forget about you. I'm, you know, if you need to talk, we're here. Mm. And it's not as if you're a pariah, you know what I'm saying? Mm. We're leaving you on an island. I'm still here for you whenever, you know, if you want to chop it up. So that's really all that was. And I know I've been in a situation, obviously not like that, but I've been in situations where, you know, life goes on, the team goes on, things happen, you know, even with injuries, and it's the third or fourth week of your injury, and they go on the road and you stay home for a week, and it's like, dang, I haven't heard from my squad. So obviously this is different, but just hearing, seeing a text message from a familiar, from a teammate,
mm-hmm.
I can imagine it feels good. So just that's all that was. And And he seemed as if he's doing okay. So we'll see how this plays out.
So you're doing that because you're a good person, you're a teammate and things like that. The situation in general, and when Adam Silver discusses it yesterday and talks about the, you know, the discipline he has available to him if the investigation turns out a certain way, Jonte and him being your teammate aside, you as a ranking member of the union, how much are you guys as the MBPA kind of keeping an eye on this because of the precedent it could set if it does get to somewhere where there's discipline?
For sure. No question. I mean, in my capacity with the union, in my capacity as a veteran in this league, in my capacity as just an NBA player, where, you know, everybody's keeping an eye on this to see what that precedent could set. And because it's something that hasn't happened in our league. So we're very much paying attention. And as a union member, we're obviously making sure that everything is, you know, the investigation is fair, and he's not out there. You know, Jonte is not out there to be made a bad guy if nothing comes to fruition in terms of him being found guilty of it. So it's a difficult thing to navigate, but as all of those, you know, I guess people, I'm keeping a deep eye on this to see what happens.
For sure, for sure. Well, Garrett, we appreciate you so much for joining us on the Raptor Show. I think this is the last time, because the show's ending when the season's ending too, but just want to say appreciate you so much for taking the time. I know this is early in the morning, everything like that, but you've been great to speak to. You're clearly, you know, somebody who has so many interesting things to say. I'm curious to see what you do next, if it's come back to the Raptors, if it's stay in the league, if it's coaching.
And if you come back to the Raptors, we're running this back season two.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's come on, man. But, you know, still, just wanted to say appreciate you. And, yeah, I mean, good luck in the last two games of the season. I'm very curious to see what game 82 at 1 p.m. in Miami looks like. But
you and me both. My family's coming down, the kids and all that.
Oh, that sounds great.
I think a lot of people have a lot of people coming down. You know, at one, I should play a lot. I'll tell you that much. I think I may be able to play a good bit.
Yeah, you get your rest for that one for sure. I'm just worried about the other guys, the younger guys.
I know. Nah, but it'll be really good. I really appreciate you guys as well. And mark me down if I'm back here next year. We got a date every week. I'm with it. Let's get it.
Perfect. All right. Thank you, Garrett.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate y'all, man. Have a good one.